Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to the segment of the show we call Feedback. 715-845-2155. If you'd like to call in, be a part of it, and get this. Feed back. All right. So it's been done a million times before in a conversation. What would you do? A teacher and her son are driving along in their car, having a good day, and they notice a bag fall off the car in front of them. Apparently it was up on the roof of the car while they were driving down the road. The driver did not turn around to retrieve the item, didn't know it was there, didn't know it fell off. So the woman and her son did the right thing. They pulled over. They picked it up. Guess what they found inside? 114 $100 bills.
Okay.
$11,000 and change. Well, the article says that the money was untraceable, according to WPTV news station that got a hold of this. We'll find out in just a few minutes. It's not exactly untraceable. Anyway, the woman and her kid, they talked about it. They took a selfie holding up the money, you know, just kind of being cool and funny with it. But there wasn't really much of a discussion. The kid was like, gee, Mom, we could buy an ATV with this, or, you know, a four-wheeler. We could have some fun. And the mom took the opportunity to say, listen, this is not our money. It doesn't belong to us. We didn't do anything to earn it. We have to do the right thing. So they turned it into the local police.
Plus, if it's drug dealer money, they may find us if we keep it.
Yeah, that's always one of the things that you have to think about. So the teacher and her son took the money to a police department, which is about 30 miles southwest of Charlotte in North Carolina. And the police went through the bag of money, and there they found a copy of the man's driver's license and other paperwork in the bank bag. So, okay, it's a bank bag. There's identification in there and other paperwork. So the money was not really untraceable. The cash may have been untraceable, but there was documents in there that said, hey, you figured it out.
I found your driver's license, but there wasn't anything else with it.
Sorry about that.
You had what with it? $114,000 in cash? No, that wasn't there.
No, didn't. Don't remember seeing any money like that at all.
Yeah.
The woman goes on to say that it was a great opportunity for her to give her kid a lesson in honesty. Now, let's just run the typical question down. What would you have done? You found $11,000 in cash. What would you have done? If it fell off a car in front of you, what would you have done?
I would have done exactly what they did. I would have taken it to the authorities and let them hash
exactly.
It out.
Precisely.
And if they can't find the owner, then I think after, a year, you get to keep it.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a time frame. Unless the police department, you know, what bag of money? No, you don't understand, ma'am. See, the dog's alerted on this, and we think it's drug money, and so therefore we're gonna have to keep it. Okay, I agree with you. 11 grand, I would have turned it in.
But your question is going to be, is there an amount of money that you wouldn't give back?
There's not a question about is there an amount of money. The answer is yes. Everybody has a price. The question I have is, what is that amount of money to you? If it had been 50 grand in the bag. Now, let's say if it had been 50 grand and no driver's license, no paperwork, it was literally just a bag, a zip-up bag, no identification on it at all, nothing. What would you have done?
Maybe I've watched too many movies or TV shows, but that kind of money in a bag with no ID is always criminal money, and criminals have a way of finding the people who have it, and it never ends well for the people who take that money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think
50 grand,
you'd
still turn it in.
I think so.
100 grand.
I guess I won't know until it happens, and I think everybody can answer that. They won't know until it happens what their price is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go along with you on that one. You know, 10, 11 grand, 20 grand, it would be like, no, this is $100,000. You might sit there and go, well, this is probably drug money, and those dirtbags don't deserve it.
Maybe
I could do better with it.
Maybe I'd hang on to it myself and see if it was publicized, you know, later in the week or whatever, that some nun lost this money from the collection plate, taking it to the bank, and then I would turn it in.
Or until God started putting lightning strikes around you, and then you started thinking, you know, maybe I should. Well, let me read to you some of the comments that were made online after the...
Let me guess. People were upset that they turned the money in?
Well, no, there's a variety of responses. If you have the ability to lose $11,000 in cash, you don't deserve it. You should have kept the money. this money could have been a deposit from a man's business, so don't judge him until you know why he had that much cash. However, I hope you get a reward. You deserve a reward. Do you agree? Do you think that this woman deserves a reward?
Well, I think the guy, when he gets the money back, should do something. I mean, I don't think you can expect a reward when you do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't expect a reward when you do
the right thing. That's my point. Doing the right thing does not warrant a reward. Going above and beyond. And it kind of smells like, in today's environment, doing the right thing is going above and beyond. Not stealing it is going above and beyond. No, turning it in was the right thing to do. Another comment brought to light, say, what do you mean it's untraceable? There was a driver's license information and so forth. And the rest are just critical of the article, calling it untraceable. But the comment that really caught my attention, like I said, was, you know, you should have gotten a reward. No, you're just doing the right thing. You're doing what anyone would do, hopefully. But it's just an interesting situation.
Doing the right thing is its own reward.
What if it was $1 million? $1 million in $100 bills. That's a big bag, first of all.
Yeah.
$1 million. Now, $1 million will change your life.
Yeah.
$100,000, honestly, is not going to change your life. You're not going to do anything really different. You've got a little security.
You would think about it every time you spend some of it.
Would you? You'd be paranoid?
Well, not paranoid so much as knowing, you know, this could have been somebody's life savings that they were, you know, taking for their grandfather's operation or something. You know, how could you enjoy spending money if you knew that where it came from was something like that?
All right, so you do have a conscience.
Oh, come on.
All right. I hear you. I like you said, everybody has a price. And what is are you able to squelch it?
If somebody loses $1 million in cash in a bag, maybe they do deserve to lose it. Huh?
No, you know. what if it's somebody that just doesn't believe in banks and they've just, you know, they just cashed their lottery check and they're heading to you know, take care of the nuns in the orphanage and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of business around here that only deal in cash. I did a thing with my dog over the weekend. Left it, you know, took it to a kennel to get groomed and all that other stuff and spent the night there. Well, I guesstimated how much it would be, and I underestimated. I walked in, they said, okay, it'll be X number of dollars. Like, well, I'm like $20 short. Can I pay it to you and then write a check for the rest of it? No, we don't take checks. I said, well, how about my debit card? Nope, we don't take debit cards either, cash only. Like
cash only?
Yeah, cash only. And I said, well, how about you just give me a bill and I'll mail you a check tomorrow? Nope, nope. Now,
so
I didn't
they wouldn't give you the dog back until you went home and got more cash?
I went to an ATM and got it. Now, they were really nice, and I really like doing business with these people. They take great care of our dog when we take off and go on vacation or something like that. So I didn't want to have an issue. But
I'm not sure you can be a business these days, or at least in the near future, that doesn't accept debit cards. And I understand there is some cost involved to the business to do that. But
if I had wanted to, I could have pressed the issue of, like, you're not keeping my dog for a bill. You will not hold my animal hostage. That you can't do. But like I said, I didn't feel like having that discussion. I didn't feel like being guy.
Can't they do that?
No, they can't. No. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, 715-845-2155 is the phone number. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin Morning News now. WSAU Feedback at 8 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback, 715-845-2155. All right, some interesting new statistics have been released, and it is regarding gun crime and murder in Chicago and other areas of Illinois. Now, if you remember, back in July, a bill was introduced and passed that gave gun owners the right to carry concealed firearms in the state of Illinois, which, by the way, we talked about it quite a bit. Illinois was now the last state in the nation to allow concealed carry. Now, gun control advocates warned, oh, my God, it's going to lead to a rise in this horrible murder rate and gun crime rate that we already have. This is what happens when you allow the common John Q. public to carry guns. We're idiots. We don't know what we're doing. Well, on Tuesday, Chicago Police Department announced that the city has experienced its lowest murder rate since 1958 in the first quarter of 2014. Now, this may not seem like a significant number, but it is a reduction. It is a move in the right direction, isn't it? There were six fewer murders than in the same time frame in 2013. That's a 9% drop. 55 fewer murders than in 2012. The report also says that 90 fewer shootings occurred and 119 fewer shooting victims were reported compared to last year. 222 fewer shootings and 292 fewer shooting victims compared to the first quarter of 2012. All crime, as a matter of fact, is down 25% from 2013. Now, here's the flip side, and here's where I expect gun control advocates to hang their hat. The police say that they have confiscated over 1,300 illegal guns in the past 3 months. I believe we're going to hear the gun control advocates say, despite this increase in guns flowing into the city, which you and I know means those responsible individuals filed for, received concealed carry permits, they're going to say, despite that, the police were able to confiscate 1,300 illegal guns. And of course, they'll use the last 3 months to emphasize, see, there's more guns flowing into the city and we're now being overrun. We have to do more to confiscate them. Now, arguably, it's probably too soon to make a definitive correlation between the increase or the allowance of control or concealed carry and the drop in crime. But this is not an isolated incident. Nationwide and in several states that have brought in concealed carry permits, the crime rate goes down. I mean, it's pretty common. It's clear. It's common sense. If you're a punk thug, listen, you're looking to rob somebody, carjack somebody, rob a house or something. You don't want trouble. You just want the money for the drugs. You just want to score your hit. That's all you're looking for. You're not looking for a problem. You're just trying to get your next fix. Are you really going to go into a place where you're pretty convinced that somebody's got a gun and they're going to ventilate you? No. It's like, crime and petty thieves and criminals are like water. It will take the path of least resistance. It's like an electrical strike. Those that are unprepared, those that are the weakest, those that are the most vulnerable, those are the ones that are going to get robbed. Those are the ones that are going to get attacked. Those are the ones that are going to get carjacked. Those of us who are prepared, those of us who are concerned, those of us who take our personal safety very, very seriously, So I think it's just interesting. It should be noted, the very first concealed carry permits were issued in late February. So the decrease in crime, okay, this is important, cannot really be yet attributed to more people carrying guns. But it can be, albeit maybe weakly linked, individuals that are doing the crime know that the concealed carry permits are out there. And they know that more people are able to carry. So even if there may not be guns on the street, the criminals know they're coming. The more telling statistics will be revealed as this year continues on, of course. And if we see an indication that crime has gone up and that the weapons that are being issued for concealed carry are showing up in the wrong hands, well, then that's a whole nother discussion to have. The police superintendent called the drop in crime a trend. And he's attributing the drop to the talented level of individuals on the police force, of course. He says that the strategies that the police department have put in place and that the officers that are on the job, that's the reason for the crime rate. And, you know, I hope that there's a lot to that. So there it is. Increase in concealed carry, drop in crime. If it were, if this were a unique circumstance, then I would say, oh, well, we can't. But it's not. As the concealed carry goes up, crime goes down. That is a statewide statistic and can be just about verified in almost any state that implemented concealed carry. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the GOP quietly, very, very quietly, proposed and got President Obama to sign a law that they got passed that expands Obamacare. Did you hear what I said? Expands Obamacare. Not defunds it, not buries it, expands it. What's that all about? We'll find out when we get back. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. This is Feedback.
Wisconsin Morning News now. Rush Limbaugh at 11 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.